Yo, welcome in, guys. Warriors stacking dubs once again. Sixth straight dub. I mean, we keep meeting like this, and I know you guys are coming here because you like stacking dubs too, and that's exactly what the Warriors have been doing ever since getting Jimmy Butler. Go to 13-2 since the trade, 13-1 when Butler plays. Again, six straight wins. Get a little breathing room on the Wolves in that sixth spot. Everything is looking real, real nice for the Warriors, and it's not just the wins. And I know, again, I'm going to say it one more time, we haven't really been tested in this next three games with the Knicks, and then that back-to-back against the Nuggets and the Bucks will be that true test, and we'll see where we're at that point. But man, I've been a little reluctant to just kind of say declare that we're back and that we're contenders. But man, just the way it looks, the way it feels, just the energy of this team, and just, you know, just the confidence and the way that the team is clicking, it feels like this team is ready to compete. I don't want to get ahead of myself. The last time I got ahead of myself, we were up by 23 points in the middle of the second quarter tonight, and the Kings cut the lead to six. So I'm not going to do that again. But I will just tell you that I am very happy with this team right now, as well you should be, because we're seeing just that Warriors style, that Warriors brand that no one else in the league plays like. It's off ball movement. It's just the ball humming from, you know, whoever's open and making plays. The play can initiate from three, four, five different guys at any time. Anyone can get hot from three at any point. Anyone can get open for a back cut and finish at the hoop. Jonathan Kuminga came back. Doesn't look like he's missed a beat. Conditioning looked fine. He ended up playing with 20 minutes, and I think they were kind of slotting him for about 16, but ended up dropping 18 points on 7-10 shooting. Just great game by Kuminga. Couple missed defensive rotations, but we'll just give him a pass on this one. But you can see that entering Kuminga into this lineup, even in lineups where there wasn't great spacing, he was in a lot of kind of like Draymond and GP2 and even like Looney lineups where there's sometimes three non-shooters if you're counting him as a non-shooter, which sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But it still worked. And the reason it works and it doesn't need just straight shooting as spacing is because the ball is moving. The players are moving. It's very hard to just clog the lane defensively if everyone's cutting in and out. Guys are back cutting, guys are running off the perimeter, and Steph Curry is just running like a madman, setting screens basically kind of sealing guys off. It's so hard to guard with this much movement. And then you have the anomaly of Steph Curry, who no one really knows how to guard. He's just one of a kind. And that's kind of been the key to just not only surviving this lack of spacing, but the Warriors have not shot great in the last couple weeks, and they're still finding ways to win because of just the movement and this Warrior style of basketball. And we know the offensive, right? I just kind of talked about it, but then the defensive identity, it's the Draymond Green led defensive identity of this Warriors team, where we're going to put pressure on the ball. Moses Moody is great again as a point of attack defender, and then filling in behind, just kind of getting in passing lanes. And that's the Jimmy Butler effect, is just the increase in turnovers, the increase in off ball, just aggressiveness to kind of get in passing lanes, to jump plays, to be there and help. Just everyone's on a string. It just looks great. And you essentially have, you know, another Draymond Green out there who can be a help defender and just kind of just basically direct traffic on the defensive side and the offensive side. You know, Jimmy Butler gives you basically your kind of co-captain on both sides of the ball to complement, which I think is the best defensive player of our generation in Draymond, and then the best offensive player maybe of all time in Steph. I'll just say it there. And then you have Jimmy Butler, just the IQ, the wherewithal. And my only complaint is that, man, he passes up a lot of just little either layups or three or four footers, and you just wonder, hey, you know, you're going to take that in the playoffs, right? You're not going to pass up a wide open layup just to kick it to Gary Payton on the wing, who's making his threes. I love the confidence, and sure, I do like open threes, but yeah, Jimmy, you may be a little too unselfish at times, but if that's my only complaint, I think we'll be okay. But again, Jimmy, I mean, only 6 points, and you know, he had 5 rebounds, 7 assists, but just the impact was felt. Here's a weird thing in this one, and we didn't really talk about Steph too much yet, which we will, but Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry took a combined 15 shots from the field, which was the exact same amount as Draymond Green took from the field. I don't know if that will ever happen again, where Draymond outshoots Steph and also outshoots the top two players on our team. But Draymond was great. 23 points, just came out on fire, hit four threes, and you could just tell he's kind of feeling it. Even when he wasn't shooting the ball, he was attacking the hoop, finishing or getting to the line for the most part. Just a good overall around all around game for Draymond, who we're seeing is finding different ways to affect the game on any given night. Obviously, the defense is always there, but now that he's starting to either be a sometimes it's as a passer, sometimes it's attacking the hoop, sometimes it's shooting the ball. This is what Draymond Green, when he's at his best, is he just affects the game in one way or another, just as that ultimate kind of Swiss Army knife with defensive emphasis. All right, getting over to the man, Steph Curry hit his 4,003. Sure, yeah, great feat, groundbreaking. Obviously, I get that everyone wants to market it and make it a big deal. Not the biggest deal in my mind. Just he's every three he makes is setting a new record as it is. But my only worry was that Steph kind of goes through some weird little shooting funks when he has a milestone in his sights. He kind of saw it a little weird tonight. Not the greatest shooting night for him, and just didn't really get much up at all in general. But we saw him when he was before he passed Ray Allen's record, had one of the worst shooting slumps. Maybe was like 2, 3 weeks leading up to that. So just good to get it out of the way, move on. He knows these things. He knows when the milestones are coming. And as a shooter, just even for the greatest shooter of all time, you just don't want them thinking about anything at all. Just muscle memory, just catch, shoot, don't think about anything. But anyways, got the monkey off his back, and we are on to bigger, better things. Speaking of back, kind of, I guess he tweaked his back in warmups. I don't know really what happened. Also, just side note before we get back to Steph, but Pajemski also, I saw a clip. He's going pretty hard, warming up to play and just kind of playing defense before the game. And it looked like he kind of had a little discomfort in the back, kind of grabbed at it after something. So I don't know if he kind of retweaked it or what, but he might still be another game or two or three away. That's okay because we have 10 guys that played almost 20 minutes a piece, and that's going to go to 11 when he gets back. But going back to Steph, right? And just kind of, the back. And I don't know if you heard his interview with Steiny and Guru, but the knee tendonitis, he acknowledged it's still there. He's found a way to manage it, but it hasn't gone away. It's just kind of there. One of those things where, it just kind of, just from experience I'm talking, is that, it takes a little longer to warm up. You kind of have to be a little more thorough. It's it kind of feels a little just, heavy at times. And obviously, he's been able to play through it and play great. But he's not out of the woods with it. He's had, kind of ankle tweaks here and there. You can just tell he's just kind of battling through some things. The thumb as well, he's kind of tweaks that every 3 or 4 games these days. My point being is that games like this, where you can get him out around 30 minutes or less, these are going to pay dividends later in the season. You got to get this guy as much rest as possible. 37th birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday. Pi Day. Easy to remember. Always go get some pie and think of Steph Curry. But if you remember when the Warriors won their championship in 2022, one thing that I don't know, doesn't get forgotten, but something that kind of, it was a big part of that, is that he was injured, but he came back after, what was it, like a month of basically rest and kind of rehab and not playing and more or less fresh legs. I guess better than fresh, because he was still kind of ramping up heading into the playoffs, and that also paid big dividends, and he was just the best player on the court in the whole playoffs. So you need Steph Curry to be as fresh and healthy as possible. You don't want him managing tendonitis, managing this thumb, managing his back. You want him to get fresh and just kind of, hopefully be able to kind of get maybe a few days off, win a blowout game, get him, out of there at the end of the third quarter, then maybe have, a couple of days rest in between games. And, you just need a stretch of like 3 or 4 days where he's just kind of just cruising and just chilling and just getting his body right. And so this kind of goes a long way. If the Warriors hadn't let the Kings back in the game, we would have seen Curry out probably earlier in the fourth and fully rested. But nevertheless, great game for the Warriors, and we will take it. Let's see. Just so many performances in this. I'm just going to kind of go down the line here. I mean, we talked about Kuminga a little bit, but takeaway here is that Kuminga looked great. We'll see how the shooting comes along. I mean, that's going to be the biggest X factor with Kuminga and obviously the defense. But, you know, I think we know more or less what he is. He's a solid defender. He's good on ball. He's okay off ball. And I'm hopeful that the Jimmy Butler presence will kind of get Kuminga a little more just kind of focused on the game. And yeah, I mean, he looked as explosive as ever, and he's going to get a lot of dunks, even more so than usual, just because of all the passing and, you know, the Warriors, you know, once again found style of movement basketball. Let's see here. Buddy Hield shot good in this one, had a really good stretch, and that was kind of when the game was getting a little dicey. And, you know, Buddy finally kind of stepped in confidently into some threes. He had four of them on six attempts, and I thought Buddy was great. And, you know, you kind of see, you know, I think Buddy only played like 17 real minutes before the last couple of minutes of garbage time. That's where I like to see him, even when he's playing well. I've been saying, even though they don't play the same position, I think Buddy can, you know, maybe reduce about 5 minutes and kind of give those minutes indirectly to Kuminga. Just, I mean, if Buddy's on a heater, leave him in. But I think it's just, you know, it's just not consistent enough. So good contribution by Buddy, and hopefully you kind of reducing his minutes a little bit gives you the more consistent, better version of him. Gary Payton the second, another great 3-point shooting night. I think he made his first three. He was 3 or 4. And any offense, like we talked about last time, you're going to get from him is great. And you know, you just always have him in your back pocket in case a guy like Keon Ellis or Malik Monk or even like a DeRozan gets hot. You can just kind of get Gary Payton in there and be a disruptor. And he's just kind of that again, that ace in the hole that you can kind of just put in with the role players at any given point. Quentin Post, kind of up and down game. That guy can shoot. I think he's got, what, 42% on the season. I was just looking at it mid-game. I think he's like 135-ish attempts now on the season. Only guys, this is on ChatGPT, so I assume it's right, but it could be wrong. Only guys that are shooting a higher percentage from three in the NBA with over 100% or with over 100 attempts is Sabonis, who's only had like 125 attempts, and he's not the best shooter. I don't really think he's a better shooter than Quentin Post, but he has shot well because he's probably just been wide open. But him, it is Jokic, who's shooting crazy this year, and then Karl-Anthony Towns, who is truly the best stretch center shooting wise in the league. And then it's Post. I mean, you can make the argument that as a true stretch center, I mean, other than Karl-Anthony Towns, he could be just the best pure shooter at the center position. And you see that little Klay Thompson-isms to him where he'll just kind of catch it. And it's just right up. The ball doesn't come down. You know, he can kind of just catch, and that pop time is so quick. He's confident. He'll shoot it every time. Still a few kind of rookie mistakes. He's getting better and better by the game, but you know, it's still a few things to clean up. I love how he's always talking to Draymond and he's always talking to Jimmy Butler on the defensive end. Every time he makes a mistake, you see him, he turns straight to Draymond, and he's learning, right? And that's what it takes to get better in this league. And I hope Jonathan Kuminga, you do the same thing, because you have two just welts of knowledge on the defensive side of the ball and just in general in basketball. So just soak up as much as you can, especially, you know, at this young age, because not everybody gets this special of an opportunity to be mentored and to learn, especially on the fly, from guys as great as that. And I appreciate that Post, you know, his defense has come a long way. He's not a liability out there for the most part. And, you know, he's becoming, you know, solid rim presence. He's not quite like a TJD in terms of rim protection, but you could argue he's been playing the pick and roll as well as TJD ever has. And then obviously being able to shoot the lights out is just added bonus on top of that. Speaking of shooting the lights out, Moses Moody keeps on doing his thing. You know, hit some pretty difficult ones. Four of six from three, 17 points, other than Draymond and Kuminga had the most points on the team. But Moody's just been that perfect point of attack defender and then 3-point shooter on the other side with this starting lineup. I don't really know where Steve Kerr is going to go with the starting lineup when Pajemski's back. I kind of like leaving Post in there. But Pajemski was also really cool with the starting lineup. And I do know what I would do. I would go back to Pajemski, take Post out, play him off the bench, because you can bring that second unit. I like Post playing with Kuminga just because it gives them that little more spacing. Defensively, they're gonna have to figure it out. But I do like the Post and Kuminga pairing, at least offensively, coming off the bench. And then that usually has GP2 with that, and then Buddy Hield is also with that second unit, and that's a good little core four that you can play with Steph towards the kind of mid first quarter minutes. So again, I would go back to Pajemski in the starting lineup, and then if it doesn't really work, then you have the flexibility to throw a Post in there, play kind of center matchups, and yeah, you basically you have just kind of this like revolving like eight guys who are, you can mix and match your starting and closing lineups with it. And for all the grief we gave Steve Kerr earlier in the season for just tinkering with lineups and not finding the right combinations, now it seems like he's pulling the right strings, and you just basically have somebody that fits the puzzle for any situation you need, right? You just kind of need a change of pace. Go to the Quentin Post as a stretch center. You need a just some guy to get be a disruptor. Put Gary Payton the second in there defensively. Moses Moody can go be your point of attack guy, and just all these role players have really kind of stepped up. Gui Santos, you can throw him in there just for energy, get you some possessions, and he had a great game tonight off the bench. Only 18 minutes, had 10 points, was team high plus 21. Look at that. We didn't know what would happen with his minutes when Kuminga got back. So, you have all these guys with different superpowers, if you will, and you get the right combinations. And again, I'll come back to it. That glue is just Jimmy Butler. It's just a true two-way player. Not that Wiggins wasn't a true two-way player, but Jimmy Butler, it's just more connected, right? Everybody's very connected. It's the Warriors' favorite word, other than the phrase "playing with force." They play with force, and they're just very connected, and that's Warrior style basketball, baby. So we'll see. My hopes are rising by the day. Again, we'll see if we can take care of the Knicks again. That'll be a tough game going into Saturday, and then we got that tough back-to-back. I'll actually be in New Orleans. Wifey has a conference in New Orleans, so I'll take it as a trip to work remotely and find time to watch the game. But I'll be in New Orleans watching us hopefully extend this little this run here, because if we win these next three games, you are going to hear me declaring that this team is a true championship contender. Vegas odds, they have the Warriors kind of at sixth right now, kind of right behind the Lakers, who you can argue, I mean, those pretty similar. I mean, they have the Nuggets ahead of us, but I mean, Nuggets have had our number, but you could argue we could hang with the Nuggets. Then you just have that upper echelon of the I'll put the Cavs first. The Cavs deserve it. Cavs, Thunder, I guess they're kind of both right there, and then obviously the Celtics were probably actually truly the favorites. But after that top tier, this tier of Lakers, Warriors, Nuggets, even more some more teams all have a chance. But again, we'll talk about this in a couple games. Did I leave anybody out? I know there's a lot. I was jumping around because everyone had a little bit of a role tonight, but I think we got pretty much all of it. All right, you guys, let the good times roll. You guys are killing it. Keep it going. Don't forget, if you made it this far, give me a subscribe. Let's try to get this number up. Again, I'm trying to get these numbers up, keep myself going. You guys keep me motivated. It ain't easy to keep going with a podcast. So all the likes, comments, subscribes keep me fueling. So if you like it, help me out. All right, guys. I have been Chris Chin, and until next time, peace, love, Zach and Dubs.